Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220. The Word. Hope you enjoyed the message from Pastor Lutz, and he has departed the building, and I guess I won't see him until next year. He's sending stuff in, but or something. I may run into him, but hopefully. But I hope you're doing well on this week before Christmas Eve. And there's a lot of stuff going. Traffic's heavy on the roads. I had some errands that I had to run this morning down toward Akron in the Montrose area. And anybody that's familiar with Route 18 down there, was it just like a parking lot in spots. It was just both ways. I had to wait for lights and wait for lights. And I was sitting there thinking, what in the world's going on? Then I remembered, this is the last full weekend coming up before Christmas, and the weather's nice, and so a lot of people are out today, apparently, but once I got on the highway, it was okay, coming back up here to the radio station. But I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon, and I'm going to be looking at something here in Ephesians, starting in Ephesians chapter 2, and I was thinking about this, and I was going to look at the gift that we have mentioned here in Ephesians chapter 2 and some ramifications about this gift. We think Christmas time and gift giving. I want to look at the greatest gift that can be given, the gift that was given by God himself. And it's a gift that you can, in a sense, re-gift without losing the gift in the first place. You can actually pass that gift on to others. So we're going to talk about that a little bit here on Live with Pastor Al. Just a reminder, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can go there, find out more about us. You can link to some of our social pages. We've got a number of pages, not just Facebook. I keep some stuff on Facebook, but I've been using USA.life and MeWe quite a bit, and I guess Gab to a lesser extent, and then some others that I have listed there on our page, livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to past programs there. You can listen to some of our old programs and then read some of our materials that we have there. There's some booklets. There's some other things. There's some word searches that you can download that we put together. And just a number of things there at livewithpastoral.com. You can also link from there to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. And I certainly invite you to come out and visit us. We have a Bible study tonight at 7 o'clock. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. Our church doesn't have a building. The building's not the church. I like how Pastor Lutz says, come out to the church house. You know, your house is not you. It's where you live. It's where you meet. It's where you stay. And that's what the building is. It's where the church meets. And the church is the called out assembly of believers, the ecclesia, called out assembly of believers meeting together to worship and proclaim the name of Christ. Well, so we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and we will be there tonight at 7 o'clock. And it's located at 5171 Brecksville Road. That's Northern Summit County, Richfield, right where Interstate 77 and the Ohio Turnpike cross. And midway between Akron and Cleveland. And we're also there on Sundays, Sunday morning service at 11 o'clock. I'm currently preaching through the book of 1 Peter. And then on Sunday evening, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs at 6 o'clock. That's our Sunday evening service. But tonight during our Bible study, it's a free-for-all. It's your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, just like we do, especially on our Sunday night program. If you're not aware, we're on every Sunday night on the radio here on AM 1220, every Sunday night at 11 o'clock until midnight for an hour featuring your calls and your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. So that's all coming up next week. A week from today will be Christmas Eve. We will not be having our regular our regular evenings or evening Bible study, Friday night Bible study. Instead, we're having our annual Christmas Eve candlelight service. Every year at Christmas Eve, we do this. And so it'll be a little more formal than our informal Bible study. And so you're invited to come to that if you're not doing anything on Christmas Eve. And then the following week will be New Year's Eve on December 31st. That's also Friday night. And we will be there, not planning anything really special for New Year's Eve, just our regular Bible study. And so you're more than welcome to come out and visit us for that as well. And you can find out some more of this information. Just go to livewithpastoral.com, follow us on some of our social media sites, and hopefully we'll keep you up to date on some of these things. All right, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and we're going to jump in here to the greatest gift that God has for us, a gift that he's offered to you, and you can share it with others, and he'll never take it away from you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to look into your word this morning. We do pray you'd open up the scriptures to us, guide us and direct us as we look into your word here, and help us, Lord, to understand what you've given us, this tremendous gift that's made possible through Christ and his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Bless now, we pray. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible tells us here, let's see, we'll start in verse number 8, where he says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, let's take a look at this real quick, and there's a couple things I want to share. The gift that we have, this is a gift that's made possible, that God gave to us. He makes it possible for us through what Christ did on the cross. In fact, a little further up there where it says in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." And that's where he then says here in Ephesians 2 verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." A gift is something that is given. Generally, the motivation is love or affection or care. And we see this in verse 4 here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us." This is what prompted this gift. Now, Jesus Christ did not have to come into the world to make salvation possible. God did not have to make a plan of salvation. When Adam and Eve sinned and rebelled against him in the Garden of Eden, God could have, and he would have been perfectly justified in destroying Adam and Eve and starting over. He could have done that, but he chose not to. Instead, he chose to institute a plan of salvation, a plan of redemption. And this plan involves the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. Now remember, we talk about God. We worship one God, not three gods. We worship one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as the Bible says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. They're not three separate. They are one. That's 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, if you have a King James Bible. If you don't have a King James Bible, you may be out of luck there, because some Bibles have taken that out. They have taken out a huge chunk of that, and they claim, if you look at the NIV, for instance, they claim that that's not really in the original. that no Greek manuscript before the 1600s or something like that, or the 1600s, they claim no Greek manuscript had that. Now, the problem with that is appears in a number of other versions that predate the 1600s by just a little bit. It's in the Old Syriac that was written in the year 170 AD. I think that 170 is a little earlier in the time scale than the 1600s. The Old Latin version had it in the year 200. The Vulgate of the 4th and 5th century, as well as the Italic version of the 4th and 5th century, had it. Wycliffe referred to it and quoted it and included it in his version in 1380. Tyndale included it in 1525, and of course it was in the King James Bible in 1611. But there was a thing that was written called the Liber Apologetica in 350 AD that has it there, and a number of writers in the early centuries referred to this verse, that there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. It's quoted or referred to by Tatian in 150 AD, Tertullian in 200 AD, Cyprian in 225 AD, Priscillian in 350 AD, Cassian in 435, Jerome quoted or referred to it in 450 AD, and we can go on. That's just some of them. So if you got a King James Version of the Bible, you've got God's Word. If you don't have this passage in your Bible, part of God's Word's been taken away. And Paul told Timothy that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. This is extremely profitable to know that the Father, the Word, and we know from 1 John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And a little further down it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We know the Word refers to Jesus Christ, God the Son. And so we've got the Holy Ghost. These are not three separate gods in committee. This is one God, and we're created in His image. We're a tripart being. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. Each part of our being is unique, but each part of our being is us. Your body is you. Your spirit is you. Your soul is you, just like the Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Ghost is God. They're not three separate gods. And God made a way possible. God the Father came up with the plan whereby God the Son would take on human flesh. And we commemorate that with the celebration of Christmas, that God literally was made flesh. It took on human form and dwelt among us. And that was, of course, in the fulfillment of the Scriptures. For time's sake, I'm not going through all of those. And He came into this world so that He could go to the cross to purchase our salvation. And, of course, the virgin birth, of course, was prophesied, and it was important because had Jesus had an earthly father, had Joseph been his father, Jesus would have inherited the sin nature. Remember, sin entered into the world by Adam. The Bible says, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So Jesus could not have an earthly father. God, through the miracle of the incarnation, formed the complement of the DNA that Mary contributed to this. Her DNA, it was 23 chromosomes in the egg that was in her womb, and God completed those chromosomes with another 23 and an addition. One of them obviously did not come from Mary. It was the Y chromosome, because males are XY and females are XX. The Y chromosome can only come from the father. So Mary could not have possibly contributed the Y chromosome. God miraculously made the genetic complement. And then that holy child that was conceived was born, and they named him Emmanuel, meaning God is with us, in fulfillment of the Scriptures, and we call him Jesus the Christ. And He became the gift that was given. He went to the cross where He did what you and I could not do. Or I should say, he went to the cross after doing what you and I could not do, which is live a perfect life, holy and without sin. And when He went to the cross, He did not die for his sins. In fact, Daniel chapter 9, when it speaks of us, says, talking about the Messiah being cut off, he says that not for himself, because he wasn't cut off for his own sin. He was cut off for your sins and my sins. At that moment, the payment for sin was made on the cross. You say, well, how could God know about my sins? I wasn't even born yet. That was some 2,000 years in the past. How could God know what my sins are going to be? Well, this is admittedly a hard thing for a lot of people to grasp, but when you realize that God is transcendent, that's one of his characteristics, along with his holiness, along with his righteousness. God is transcendent. He's outside of time and space. One of the problems that people have when thinking about God is that we think that the universe, all of time and space, contains God. God is within the universe. He is within time and space. He permeates it, but it doesn't contain him. He contains the universe. All time, all space is contained within God. And it's an infinitely small speck within the infinite being of God. And so God is not limited by our limitations. When he looks at the universe, when he looks at all of space and time, he sees it all. From the very beginning, when in Genesis chapter 1 it says, in the beginning God, and he sees it all the way through the end when he creates the new heaven and the new earth. And God sees it all. Now, his act of seeing it doesn't mean, and this is hard for people to understand, I admit it. It took me a while to wrap my head around it too. But the act of God knowing what's going to take place doesn't mean, like the Calvinists teach, that God knows it's going to take place because he's determined he's going to make it take place. God knows what's going to take place because he knows all of time. He sees all of time. So when Jesus hung on the cross, he saw you, he saw me, he saw every single person that's ever existed from Adam through the present to all those that are yet going to exist in the future. And he saw everything that we would do. One of the best ways I've thought of explaining it is when my wife and I got married, her uncle set up a video recorder. Now, back at that time, video recorders, camcorders are a little bit different than today. Everybody records things on their smartphone. But he had it set up on a tripod, and during the reception, I can tell you certain things that are going to happen before they happen if you've never seen the video. I can tell you that at a certain point, one of my wife's cousins is going to, or two of her cousins are going to come up, and they're going to look at the camera, and they're going to say, is this thing on? And then one of her cousins is going to reach out and tap the camera. Now, I'm not making that happen. I am informing you in advance of seeing it because I've already seen it. And hopefully that helps you understand. So when Jesus hung on the cross and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was at that moment that your sins and my sins were placed upon Christ. Now, how many of your sins were placed on him? Well, a lot of people say, well, only the sins that I had committed because I haven't committed the other ones yet. Well, let me ask you a question. Just think about this. This is why a lot of people don't like to come sometimes, I think, to some of our Bible studies. I like to challenge people to think. Now, think about this. If he didn't see your sins that you haven't committed yet, how, pray tell, when Jesus hung on the cross, did he see the sins that you've already committed? Because you hadn't committed any of them when he hung on the cross, because that was nearly 2,000 years before you did them. So every single sin that you have committed and that you are committing and that you will commit, every single one of them was yet future when Jesus Christ hung on the cross. And so when he hung on the cross, your sins, my sins, not some of them, but all of them, were placed on him. He became sin for us. He paid the penalty. And for the first time and the only time ever, the fellowship between God the Son and God the Father was broken for a few moments. Say, well, how can just a few hours of suffering on the cross equate for an eternity in a lake of fire? The Bible says those that aren't saved, those that have not put their faith in Christ, those that haven't received forgiveness of sin and salvation are going to be cast into the lake of fire at the great white throne judgment for all eternity. How does that equate to a few hours suffering on the cross when Jesus hung there? Oh, again, it goes back to the nature of God. Every moment of time, because God exists outside of time and throughout all time, at all time, every moment of time to God is just as real as this moment is to you and it is to me. So when Jesus hung on the cross from our perspective some 2,000 years ago, when God told or called out to Adam in the Garden of Eden and said, called out, asked where he was, and then he killed the animal and made skins to cover Adam and Eve way back then. And when at that very moment, the moment that was yet future when Jesus would hang on the cross was absolutely real to God at that moment. And today, that moment is just as real to God as it was some 2,000 years ago. For an eternal being that contains all of time and space, every moment of time, every part of space is just as real to him at all times. And so the cross and Jesus hanging on the cross, suffering for our sins, saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For an eternal being, that is an eternal moment. And so God knows your sins. It's nothing for an eternal God that knows every moment of time to put all of your sins, the sins you've committed, the sins you are committing, and the sins you will commit upon Christ. And when you turn to him by faith and embrace Christ as your Savior, and when you believe that he shed his blood on the cross and he died to pay for your sins, was buried, and then rose again the third day victorious over sin and death, when we come to him humbling ourselves, saying we can't save ourselves, but we realize the gift of God is eternal life, it's salvation. And we say, you know what? I'm going to accept that gift. It's just like when you get up Christmas morning and there's a gift wrapped up, shiny paper, under the tree with your name on it. And it lays there. Until when? Until you pick it up. What if you don't pick it up? Does that mean the gift is any less yours? Well, the person that left it there for you, it's yours. It's up to you to pick it up. Jesus Christ is that gift. And God has left him there for us. And when we accept that gift, he says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. We cannot earn salvation. We cannot do anything to make ourselves worthy. He says, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Everybody in heaven's going to be there the same way. They receive the gift of God. The gift of salvation. Nobody's going to be in heaven saying after a few millennia, you know, you got here because God took pity on you and died for you, but I earned my way here. I made it because I was just so good. I was just so perfect, so righteous. That's how I got here. No, that's going to lead to pride and sin, and that's not going to be in heaven. That's not going to be an eternity in the future. We'll all be there the same way. We'll all be there, saved by grace, through faith. And that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan island, and the Samoan word for gift is mea lofa. Mea is thing, alofa is love. Literally a thing of love, a thing of love. And then grace, which we often say, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense, was alofa to Noah, which is alofa's love, and to Noah's free or without cost. It's love that's unmerited or free. Because it's a gift. It's a thing of love that God has for you. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Have you accepted God's gift of salvation? When you do that, your sins will be forgiven. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You're not going to lose it. You're not going to lose hold of it. You don't have to keep hold of it. He's the one that does it. And we are kept, he said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I hope you'll take advantage of that great gift, the gift of salvation that Jesus Christ brought to us. Well, I thank you for listening. Hope you'll join us next week. We had a special program for Christmas Eve, and God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.